Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. It is Friday, and we're glad that Chris Williams is with us today. Chris, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here with you.
And right alongside her, one of the people that I admire quite
her?
A bit.
You go by her?
Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Yeah.
How are you, Jill?
Hello, Steve. I'm good. Thought you forgot me.
I didn't.
But I should know you never forget me. Yeah.
No, I was coming to you.
Okay.
I saw you there. And
okay.
I was just getting there. And you doing all right?
Yeah. Doing good.
Well, you know, some people aren't. And if in this really tough time, maybe an issue or two might be rising to the surface, like you never knew that you wanted your children to live somewhere else until this.
Or just you maybe, to live somewhere else.
Yeah. Maybe you never thought that being a nun was an attractive profession, and you're thinking of
but the habit would cover
all.
Up the gray hairs. That,
yeah.
That could
whatever.
Work.
Whatever. Well, I want to tell you, we've got hundreds of free videos, articles, tip sheets, devotionals. It's all there at newlife.com. Now, maybe you are doing fine, but somebody you know or love is not. Tell them to go there. There's a little place on our website that says, are you looking for help during this crisis? And I just want to say this. We've never had so many therapists and counselors that are willing to do teletherapy or, you know, counseling over the phone or through Zoom or whatever. So call and connect with us. The point is, it's never been easier to get some help. And I do know, you know, it's mind-boggling to me that a lot of people don't get help because they're afraid they'll look weak or something like that. But, oh my goodness, you know, they lay you out at the in the funeral, you know, you're dead now, and the pastor gets up and says, never has there ever been a stronger person in the world. She never needed counseling. You know, I mean, is that really what we're going for here? How about you get it taken care of and you do something about it? Now, you guys, I don't know if you were on when I was talking about when I die. What I want them to do is, you know, the casket's there. You got the wreath on the top.
Mm-hmm.
I want the pastor to turn his back to the audience, throw the wreath over his shoulder, and whoever catches it, they're going to die next.
You know,
a little funeral humor there. All right. So anyway, the point is this, though. Wouldn't it be great if somebody said, I got help because Darlene got help and told me about it. It's a great thing when you get some help. So don't feel bad if you're not doing well during all of this. We'll get through this, but you can get through this, and you can use this as a great excuse to get the help that you need. Who is gonna judge you by saying, yeah, right in the middle of all that, I really needed somebody I could talk to that was over the age of six. I mean, you know, just...
Yeah.
Well, and Steve, I know that there's a lot of people like, hey, I'll wait until we can meet in person.
Right.
And I get it. It's hard to transition if you've done therapy to go over on the virtual side of things. But the work, and I'm sure you're experiencing this, Jill, is just as effective.
It is.
And maybe right now more important than ever before because of what we're going through collectively.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And for people who have used the excuse of not being able to drive there, this is the perfect
time.
You
have it. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we want you to get some help because we're here to help people. Not a ministry to help people feel better, but to transform your life. It's a transformational, focused ministry. But you have to be willing to humble down a little bit, make a phone call. Never been easier. That's what we want for you. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll go right to the phones here. So glad you're with us today. There's hope, there's help, there's healing, and we've got it for you. Well, God's got it. We'll just try to be the connector to it. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. One of my favorite stations, KFAX, up in the Northern California area, Craig Roberts. Oh, what a great station. What a great man. Well, Benny Benjamin lives in Oakland, and he listens to KFAX, and we're going to talk with him right now. And how you doing there today? Is that the way you pronounce it, Benjamin?
Benjamin, but it's fine.
Oh, Benjamin.
Can you hear me?
Please forgive me because, yeah, you know, I've been called Atterbury, Arterbuster, and all this stuff, so please forgive me for mispronouncing that. But I'm glad you called today. What's going on in your life?
Okay. what I was telling your call screener is I know you guys want us to get therapy and, you know, to try to get healthy for relationships and stuff like that. And I really don't want to put another book on you, but this is another book suggestion. I know you have a book called Toxic Faith, right?
Yeah.
About how to look out for the different, what you call it. And what I was hoping for is if you and, you know, and everybody else in the crew could write a book called Toxic Therapy. Because a lot of us want to get therapy, but sometimes you can't tell if it's a good fit or not, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, maybe write down questions and you know, okay, if this is toxic therapy, if they're doing this and doing that, here are the first, I don't know, 10 questions you want to ask before you get a therapist, because, you know, there's no such thing as extra money. And, you know, I don't mind paying for a therapy because it's worth it if it gets you past. But
well, here's what we do. Here's what we do. Becky Brown goes out, and well, she's done this, so she's not, you know, doing 100 people a month now. But, you know, she has talked with, she has gone through, she's qualified all of these clinicians in our network. So when you call us, here's what we do. We will charge you to work up finding you the best therapist. And the therapist we send you to gives you the first session for free. So it doesn't really cost you anything. Actually, it saves you money because you get a session free. And if that doesn't work out, we're going to help you. You know, because I've told people before, I've had some really ineffective Christian counselors. But I've got a great one now, and I've had many great ones in the past. So to help you at least 75% of the way, we've gone through all these counselors, and we've got some really great ones that we think can help you. And then if you don't think you're getting the right kind of help, you can call the folks there in Dallas, and then they'll kind of help you figure out if it's you or the other person. Because, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's a great match for everybody else. But I want to go after I've said all that. Now I want Chris and Jill to give you a couple of things you could do if you ever do let us connect you with a really good counselor. A couple of things that might foster or might help make that a good outcome, or you know, is there a question, statement, whatever. Let's start with you, Chris. What do you think?
Well, what's helpful is, not that we can always do this, but as much as possible, is going into therapy with what you want to work on. You know, here's the things I would really like to address. Here's the things that are working against me that I would like to. And does this person have a competency in that area? And so we want to look at competency. But the other really crucial importance is that the level of connection you have with your therapist. If you feel comfortable and safe in that environment where you can say what you need to be said, there's non-judgmental responses back, there's high empathy, but also great insight, then you know you're on the right track. And unfortunately, that's where the great opportunity for a free initial session, session is great, because we may have to, for lack of a better term, date around for a while till we find the right, the right therapist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah.
Well, right. And it is a collaborative process. It isn't just about you coming in and expecting the therapist to completely read your mind.
Yeah.
Right. And for you to not say what you're wanting and then leave dissatisfied. Right. So it is
right.
about putting it out there, and every so often it's checking in, okay, are we where we want to be? Where have we been? And kind of really examining and processing that together. And if you feel like, oh, I can't say this to my therapist, I might hurt their feelings. Okay, well, you're not there for the therapist, right? You're there for you. And so it's important to say, I find myself struggling to say some things that I need to say. And I need some help to explore that. Right? So you have to be willing to take some risks in this relationship.
And there are a couple of things, too. I think you can say to the person at the call center, and you can say to the person they connect you with, I need some advice on a situation short term. We might, you know, do a lot of stuff together long term, but I can't come to you eight times and trying to, you know, figure out some kind of insight I'm not aware of. I really need you to be pretty directive with me, because this is a crisis. In other words, if I was having trouble with my, I don't have a 16-year-old, but if I did, a 16-year-old, I can't wait 3 months to develop how the relationship got sideways. I need to know what to do now. So you can tell them your expectation, and I think that really helps, because you might have an expectation. I need some advice, but if I don't tell that person this, I need direction. I need directive, or as I call it, transformational focused counseling, which is a shorter term. Then I can really end up in a different place than I want to be. I really appreciate your call. I hope something we've said is helpful to you, and I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and I hope you'll like that. No, tell you what, I'll send you something even better. I'll send you Every Man's Bible. Father's Day is coming up, and that's a great, great gift to you. Anyway, thanks for calling us, and tell all my friends up there hello, and I hope you stay safe and you stay sane. All right, let's go to our next caller. Why don't you guys pick somebody, and we'll go to that person as soon as you pick them.
Let's go with Carol from Tom Rivers, New Jersey, listening on Siri XM.
Sirius XM. All
Hi,
right.
Hi, how are you?
Hi there. How are you? Yeah, what's going on?
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm okay. Just not sure how to go forward from this. I actually finally told my husband and two sons I want to have a family meeting tonight, because I can't really stand seeing the way our family is going and the way my kids are living, or they're actually not living.
And, how old are your kids, first of all?
Well, the two that I'm talking about that live with me are 26, a 26-year-old son and 23-year-old son.
And are they kind of ganging up on you there with your husband? Is that what it feels like?
Sometimes, yeah. Not so much ganging up, but no respect. Don't take me seriously, and don't listen to me, and don't pitch in around the house. And feel very entitled, and I know one of them has depression, and I just see more and more isolation. He's very rude to me. I just feel like it's time. I know it's time, because he's a man, that to start to move out on his own. But I don't know how hard to push because of all of the situations, and I really don't know where he would be able to afford to go either.
And your husband aren't on the same page, it sounds like.
He hasn't really ever. He's been a great provider, but never ever a disciplinarian, and never expected anything of them. So I can't even stand to see it anymore.
No.
I get excited if one of them takes the garbage out, you know,
okay.
because that's
yeah.
So I feel like, well, I want to leave, but
yeah. Well, who wouldn't?
I don't think that's the right. I don't think. Yeah, so I want to talk about this somehow tonight with them.
So is your question how to go about that, or what is your question for us?
Yes, and is it dangerous to ask somebody, like my 26-year-old, to tell him maybe like within a year I expect you to be out on your own, if I do know, in fact, that he's I guess he's depressed. Mm-hmm. Is that dangerous to ask somebody to leave?
Okay, let me just throw this in.
How do I get them?
Let me, because I deal with a lot of failure to launch situations. And let me just encourage you to do this. Your husband hasn't been a disciplinarian and all that kind of stuff, and I get that. But this isn't a time for discipline. Here's what I would suggest before you do anything and have this family meeting. I think tonight would be the night for you to sit down with your husband and you say something like this. Honey, we disagree on a lot of things, and this has really been a tough time with the virus and all that. But I know this. We both agree that we want to have successful, independent kids. And I would never, ever want to throw our kids out on the street. I'm wondering if you and I could talk about developing a plan with our kids on how, let's say in a year, they could be independent, living in their own place, supporting themselves. And you know what, honey? Maybe at the end of a year it didn't work, but they're close, and maybe it takes 15 months or something. But it seems to me if you and I could help them develop that plan for independence, they would feel so great about themselves. They'd have something to look forward to rather than having to tell people, I live with my mother. That would be a thought. Chris, Jill, what do you guys think might be a way to get independence into, you know, these...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know...
need to be living on their own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. part of their depression is living with mom at home. I mean, when we don't feel like we have control of our lives, or that when our confidence, especially as 20-year-old males, 20-something old males, you know, we want to launch out into the world, we're very, very scared to do it, mm-hmm. and the more time that we don't, the more time that insecurity sets in and starts to really get into our soil. I think his depression makes sense, but I say, hey, living here is going to include getting help for your depression.
Right.
You know, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, mm-hmm. let's look at this. Where do we get help for you to either get a therapist, maybe even a life coach that helps you put together a plan so that you can start moving forward with your life? And with that, it's your home. You've got to live in it. It's where you live and move and have your being. And so having boundaries around the house and responsibilities is really important.
Well, and I like the positive approach that Steve was taking with your husband. I was just picturing myself in your shoes, and I can see where you would just be so frustrated, right? Mm-hmm. You're just like, I've had it, right? And just want to, you know, mm-hmm. give them all, you know, your ultimatum. Mm-hmm. And I think that while that might feel good short term, really coming about it and trying to draw your husband into something he's comfortable with. And see, the thing is, your husband is the one that is supposed to help kids draw out into the world.
Uh-huh.
And
that's
he's
right.
not doing that for whatever reason. And I don't know if he, you know, doesn't want to then be an empty nester. I don't know in terms of intimacy with the two of you.
No, that's not it.
Okay. Okay.
Well, he probably doesn't want them to...
He would say he doesn't know how.
Well, he probably doesn't want them to feel bad about themselves, and he doesn't want to be a bad dad.
Well, and they are feeling bad about themselves.
Exactly.
Did you hear that, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. I love what he said. Let's go with it. He says, I don't know how.
Yes. Mm.
So part of that positive talk is, you know, I really heard you, honey, when you said, I don't know how. So I sought some advice, and I found out how you don't have to do it. We do it mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. It's so great, and I really think it's going to help us and our kids. So let's do it. Versus, you know, thinking, well, you should know how or whatever.
Right.
You honor that I don't know how.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. Okay, well, and I'm really...
I'll start with that.
I think this is a better way to go than that family meeting. Okay? All right. Let me send you a copy of Restoration Bible. We'll be back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and Chris and Jill, a couple more things we want to say.
Just a couple more thoughts. Yeah. One, Carol, with your depressed son, you know, we don't do for others what they need to do for themselves, mm-hmm. but we do for others what they can't do for themselves. We come alongside them, and we help. And that's where you, with your husband, writing mm-hmm. out a plan, throwing your ideas in together, and then working with your son and setting up some milestones and some things, some structure in place to help them get there mm-hmm. is kind of the idea.
Chris, you have anything you want to add?
I would just encourage your husband to share his experience with your boys, to get them talking more about their struggles, to connecting on a deeper level if they can.
Like, what was it like for him to leave home
exactly.
the first time, right? And how does that feel to them? You know, you guys don't want to kick them out. You want to help them grow, and they're just getting more depressed at home.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he'd be willing to share, you know, so often in my life I have felt like I didn't have what it took. Mm-hmm. I felt like I didn't know how to be a dad or whatever, and I don't want that for you guys. That could be pretty powerful for those guys. So, yeah. All right. I hope this is going to go well, and I'd love to know mm-hmm. How it does go. And I just, one word of caution, I know you must be frustrated with your husband, and I mean you called with that frustration, and I just want to, if there's any way you could restrain yourself. This isn't the time to fix your relationship with him or whatever. Just focus on the plan, getting mm-hmm. a plan in front of those guys that you guys can follow up with, and then you can deal with your relationship, you know, in a couple of weeks or whatever after kind of the plan sets in. Joining me in the studio is Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, we are not virus proof in this ministry. Talk to us about our needs.
No, thank you. Before I talk about the needs, I just want you to think about the calls that you hear on radio and think about how long you've been listening, whether it's been a day, a week, or 25 years, whatever it is. How many times have you heard the calls you relate to? How much help have you received? How much have you acted on that help to where it's made a difference in your lives? We get letters and responses from people that says, this radio program is what changed my life. And you just think about some of the calls we've had today and will have. And that's why we want you to help us. I mean, the virus is an issue, and people are in uncertain times. People have lost jobs. People have taken pay cuts. And I'm not asking those of you that are having really significant issues financially to be the ones to send a gift, but I'm asking those of you that aren't in that boat to please send a gift. And please consider joining Club New Life. We have said it several times on this program, and our finance director, Diane, in Texas, she said to me, please give a shout-out to Club New Life. If it wasn't for them, we'd really be in a pickle.
Yeah.
And so $30 a month, great benefits, great thank you gift, but it carries the weight of the burden on finances for us month to month, and we need your help, and we need continued support there. And if you are a member, think of giving another $5 or $10 or $20 a month, whatever you can do. That'd be great.
Yes, and you know, it really would make a difference. And this transformation kit here is quite a thank you gift. We love this. It's an entire life recovery Bible. And if you hate the 12 steps and hate hearing the word recovery, if you get this Bible, I was opening it up today. It is so full of rich devotional and study material. If you hated the 12 steps, you could love this Bible. But if you love recovery and transformation in the 12 steps, you'll really love this Bible. So we send you the Bible, and we send you a workbook that has sold. It's the second best-selling after the Bible, and it'll just help enrich your relationships with God, others, and then help you to heal. But then we've got a journal that is one of the best things that's come out of this. It's a recovery journal, 4 seasons of recovery. A lot of people don't even know they exist. That's there. And then we send you 4 additional workbooks that either you or somebody you love will love. One on grief. And if there's ever an epidemic beyond Corona, it's ungrieved losses in the Christian community. Then there's one on eating disorder, sexual integrity, and then divorce. So that's our way of saying thank you. $30 a month, we send that to you because it can transform your life. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to become part of the giving family of Club New Life. All right, how about we go back to the phones to Kathy from Montgomery, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Hi there. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm actually calling for myself and a dear friend of mine. I lost my husband four years ago. I lost him to, he committed suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
He left us in the fall of 2015. He disappeared and he committed suicide in February of 2016. And I think he did that one to keep, you know, he didn't want to do it here. And I think he was suffering from depression. And I know he was hiding alcoholism. He was, as they call, functional alcoholic.
Okay.
By the grace of God, he's pulled me through all of that. And I'm here to be thankful so much for God bringing me through it. Because it was very difficult. He was my second husband. We were married for 26 years, and in 3 days it would be his birthday. I'm just remembering him.
Yeah. So this is a tough time for you. Hold on. We'll help you.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And what a tough situation. So what's the specific question for us? His birthday's coming up. Well, you're remembering him, you said?
Yes. And I have a dear friend. I've known her for over 20 years. Her husband this past year left her. They broke up. They were having some issues in their marriage, and she found out maybe 2 months later that he moved in with a woman. And she's grieving. She's never lived alone. Yeah. They were together and married for 30 years. She's a young woman, and young as in early 50s, I say. She's younger than I am. And, you know, we talk together. She's very alone. She's very sad. She doesn't sleep. She doesn't eat. She works at home. And they talk. He calls her or texts her every day, and he tells her he loves her. But he says, "I'm where I am. I'm living where I am right now." And I talk to her and I share with her, because she was with me when I sprinkled my husband's ashes, the both of them were, 4 years ago. And it saddens me because she'll say, you know, I'm grieving my husband, I'm grieving my marriage. And I said, you know, I understand I'm still grieving my wonderful, loving husband, but I'll see him again in heaven, but not here on earth. Whereas you can see your husband, you know where he works, not where he lives.
Yeah.
And well, so I don't know what the kind of conversation to have with her beyond that.
Okay, so I just want to throw this out there, and then I'm going to have Jill and then Chris talk to you. But I think the wisest thing that you could say to her is simply this. You must not let him enter your life by phone, text, or email, and say things that are insulting to you, like "I love you." Every time she accepts his interaction and hears him say that, she becomes less and less of a person in his mind. She is just an object to him. Just like the woman he's living with is an object to him. He doesn't see women as real, live, the crown of creation women that they are. And every time she feeds in to his need to stay connected to mommy, her, to be safe, to feel like I've always got a safety net I can come back to, every time she does that, she is enabling a very sick, sick arrangement. And your encouragement to her needs to be, you've got to get whatever help you need so you're not playing this game anymore with him. Jill, let's go to you. What do you think?
Well, Kathy, I love that you are coming alongside of her and that you guys have been such good friends through such heartaches, right? I'm wondering if you can think about how it felt for you when your husband was missing versus after he was found dead, and the difference in your grief during those times. I think for her right now, there is this sense of false hope, and you know, every contact is a hopeful, you know, wish for things to change, to turn around. And so the grief is really difficult. And it almost becomes like an addictive relationship, right?
Without a doubt. Yeah. He's getting a hit off of her as she's getting a hit off of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. So she's not really able to grieve in terms of a finality yet. And it keeps the wound, like, just keeps churning it over and over again.
And that's the thing. You can't even begin the grief because you haven't lost anything necessarily.
No, there's still the hope there. And he's really weaning himself off of the relationship in some ways.
Well, yeah. I mean, as Steve was saying, he's having his cake and eating it, too.
Yeah.
And the problem is he's treating the women as if they don't matter at all.
Right.
And her, I would love for her to be able to say to him, as Steve was saying, you can no longer contact me unless you have completely cut off contact with this other woman and you're willing to work on the marriage. Other than that, it's over.
But that's going to be really hard for her.
Yeah,
It's going to be really hard. She's not going to want to do that.
But imagine this.
I agree.
And I would imagine this would be impossible for her to do, but just imagine that she would do this. One day, tomorrow, he calls the number that he's been calling every day, and here's what he gets. This number is no longer in service. Now, do you think that he would put the phone down and go, well, I don't guess I'll ever call her anymore? He would be in his car. Mm-hmm. He would be over there in her face. He would go, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
But as long as she continues to feed the little baby his little baby food, he needs to be fed every day.
He needs to make sure she's still there.
She will never,
same spot.
He's not going to rise up. And maybe there'd be hope. So I think you get what we're saying. It's not yeah. what most people would say, but it could be the thing that would wake him up. This is a real live woman here, and right now I can just tell you, the objectification of women in his brain makes her less and less important to him.
Mm-hmm. And it's all the right. slow death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you right. Take Your Life Back, and I hope you will send it to her and that it would benefit her greatly and that, you know, God could do something here. And look, it's just Jesus was not the passive, always nice guy that we want to believe. You know, he got upset, overturned the temple, all the cursed a fig tree. You know, they're just times when you have to do the opposite of maybe what you think is the right thing to do, and that produces the result. All right, guys, pick a caller, and let's take another caller. By the way, if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll be on the air today at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, Facebook Live, and I hope that you will join me there.
Yes, let's go to Chris in Cleveland, Ohio. He's listening on the app.
Hi, Chris. How are you today?
Hi there. Good. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
So my wife and I have kind of been godparents to a little 12-year-old girl, really her whole life. And this little girl has been through a lot of trauma in her life. Father committed suicide. Brother tragically drowned in a car with a drunk driver, in which she was in the car and was able to escape, but he was in a car seat. Fast forward, you know, well, we've been in her life for a long time. She comes to our house when the mom needs to let her get away and, you know, have a safe place to go. The mom is now married to a stepfather. There's a lot of violence in the home. Possible drug use. They currently don't have a home because they're losing it. They don't really seem too concerned about her schooling now that we're quarantined. They just say that she doesn't need to do it. And it's getting to a point where she's begging us to move in with us and live with us, which we would love, but we are not custodians, guardians, or even family members. And so we're trying to figure out a way to approach the parents and discuss, you know, the rest of her life being on the line.
You have any kids?
We do. We have a 6-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm. And how old is this person?
12.
This girl is 12.
12? Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. And so we've come down to kind of a fork in the road. We think that home is not safe right now, mm-hmm. Completely safe. She says she's not being hit. She's not being abused. We know she's being emotionally abused, but we have no evidence, we feel, at this time to call Child Protective Services. And even if we did, we would not be her guardians. But her entire family is coming to us and saying, you guys provide her stability. She thrives with you. And everyone outside of the mother and stepfather would like her to be with us. And we're trying to figure out a way to approach them to essentially discuss with them the unsafety of their home.
Do you know that they would be against you having her in your home?
Well, the mother over the years has over and over said, I should just give her to you guys. She's better off with you guys. But she's very mentally unstable. So it changes day to day.
That's good, though. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got a positive versus a negative approach for you. I'll give that to you when we get back. And like a lot of my positive approaches, they're a little naive. But, you know, it's worth a try. And then Chris and Jill can give you a different idea. But, oh, I am praying right now for an amazing outcome. Also, when we come back, if I remember, it's harder to remember things nowadays. Tell you about a family meeting we had last night. Might be something you want to do the way we did it. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Okay, so here is an idea. Rather than talk to them in the beginning about the unsafety or anything negative, what if you were to say this as you met with them? And you don't talk to the 12-year-old about this at all, but because you don't, you just want to go talk to them, and you say this. You know, several times you've mentioned you should just raise her. Well, during this kind of crisis time for us, spending more time at home and all of this, our 6-year-old just really wants a brother or a sister. And we're not inclined to provide a younger brother or sister. But it just seems like it might be a great thing for us. We love your daughter, and we could really create something with a really wonderful childhood situation where we're not raising an only child, and I think your daughter loves us, and I'm just wondering if you might be open, and here's the key, to a little test run at her coming to living as our child's sister. So you're doing two things. You're talking about the value of family, normalcy, no only child thing, and this thing about pilot project or test run. So it's nothing permanent here. It's just a test. What do you guys think of that? Could that work or maybe not?
So I like that. You know, I'm wondering about a pre-step to that, Steve, of maybe, okay. You know, during this time where we're all cooped up together, and I know you guys are struggling with even your living situation, could we lighten the load for you a bit? Mm-hmm. And have, you know, Susie come and stay with us for a while. And, you know, we can, you know, just kind of play it by ear and see how it goes. But that might help you all to do some things you need to do. And then after Susie's been with you a while, Steve, then you have that conversation.
Yeah,
let them
it.
Adjust mm-hmm. a little bit first, you know, and
hey,
kind of do it in steps.
Hey, we're doing school over here.
Right.
We're doing school over here. Yeah. We could school her. He wants a sister. We, you know,
it would be fun for a while.
Great.
You know, a change of scenery for everybody. That gets them used to the idea. Because the thought, people have a hard time thinking that they would give their child away.
Uh-huh.
Right? But if it gradually mm-hmm. happens in stages, I think you're more apt to have it happen.
And just to add one more thing on there, is that long-term thinking, if there's trust built with the mom and the new dad, mm-hmm. her husband, that they sound like they need a lot of help as well.
Right.
And so there could
Absolutely.
Be a long-term strategy that says, hey, we don't know all of the resources, but we're going to go out there. We're going to try to find some great resources to help you guys out as much as possible, as much as you're willing to. So, because for this 12-year-old girl, long-term, mom's going to be in her life regardless.
Right.
And we want mom to try to get as healthy as she can. Obviously, from all sounds of it, Chris, I would love for her to live with you today, probably on a permanent level, but we still want mom to get in a healthier spot as well.
Well, it's such a great approach to it all, and I think Jill's really got it. You know, it's just, and it's all kind of using the crisis and Corona as the excuse, and it's tough. But here's what we can do. So, really excited to hear what. And please get back to us. Let us know what happens when you do have that discussion. And I'll ask all of our folks to pray that this could be a great outcome for everybody. And who knows, once the burden of raising her is taken away, maybe the parents will lighten up, be willing to get some help with a little less stress. All right, let me send you How We Love Our Kids. I think you'll like that a lot. Anybody else, you can get that. And so many other resources at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you've come to understand that the person you love has a problem you didn't know about because you're spending more time with them, you know, we have understanding and loving different problems like borderline personality disorder or bipolar, if someone has a chemical dependency problem, sexual addiction. We've got all these books on understanding and loving. Just call us and we can get one of those to you. We've got some great workshops coming up. You've heard Every Man's Battle was so great doing it online. We'll do it again, and that's May the 9th. And Restore, we're going to do that in June and November. Intimacy in Marriage will be in July and October, as well as we're going to do Finding Freedom again, Chris and myself. So last night, I pulled everybody together at dinner, and we had a little meeting. We're a blended family. So some of the folks in the blended family have the last name of Conaway, and some of in our blended family have the name Arterburn. And so I proposed that we create something that brings us all together. And it doesn't have the word Arterburn or Conaway on it, but we blend those somehow, and we create a blended family crest. Well, everybody loved the idea. So we started talking about what would go in our family crest. And so immediately there were things that were funny that we have done. And then they said, you know, maybe we should do a funny one that, and all the stuff in it is symbolic of really hilarious times we've had together. And maybe we do a serious one that represents character and the things that we value and all of these things. And so we entered into a process of creating a blended family crest. I'll let you know how it goes as we develop it further. Maybe you don't have one for your own family. It's not blended. What a great thing for you to sit down and, you know, when I told them, I said, when I started New Life, there were three words: connection, truth, and transformation. And so we looked at what are the three words that might characterize our blended family. Mm-hmm. Well, do you have three words? Maybe it's two, or maybe it's one. But what a great thing to at least help your kids see that you want a foundation and that you want to put it in some kind of artistic form. That was our family meeting last night. Maybe that'll help you. By the way, I hope you'll join me tonight at 5. I'll be on Facebook Live. And let's just take the final minutes here, Chris and Jill. You guys are doing, well, you're doing more therapy probably than ever, and you're helping more people in different ways. How is that going for you? People calling you or doing Zoom therapy, things like that? How's that going?
It's surprisingly going really well. Mm-hmm. It's exceeding my expectation. I was as skeptical as anyone else. I mean, I've done phone therapy and different things like that, but I always prefer people in the room. But
Right. We're
finding new and creative ways to guide people through this incredible adjustment. Mm-hmm. Everyone is having to make an adjustment. And life has been thrown off one way or the other. And it, from more mild to more severe.
Right.
But we all need a guide to help us kind of go and navigate these waters and find our new rhythms and find our new way through it or deal with the things that are coming up. And we're just having a great time, honestly, of finding new and creative ways to help as many people as we can.
Well, Chris, I think I love the idea of a new rhythm because I think there's a little bit of a learning curve and people were worried and scared and like, okay, you know, maybe I don't see you for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, they start calling, going, no, I need to come in. You know, I'm getting really depressed.
Exactly.
And so while it's a universal problem, it's a very individual problem. And so having that added component of some of the face-to-face is wonderful. And then I've had people who are so surprised how much they get over the phone.
Yes.
And how much they can really do.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I think you might be surprised if you'd call us and let us find some help for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. We'll see you next time, next week,
Thanks
Monday.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.